Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
What would you do to get your student loans paid off? Would you skydive? Would you let somebody kick you in the gut? What is the thing that is most scary to you that you would actually consider doing to get your student loans paid off?
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money with wealth management, trust services, and insurance so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.
We've talked about a million times how we don't sit around the table with our friends and we don't talk about all the mistakes we've made with our money. Student loan is one of those topics that is just taboo. We don't want to talk about it. I mean, if I ask you how much do you have in student loan debt, is it $30,000? Is it $50,000? Is it $90,000? I'm pretty sure the answer you're going to give me back is going to come with some sort of, I hate my student loans, attach them, because student loans is like this anchor just holding you back from all of the things that you want to achieve in life. But it's not really, right? Because we made this choice, or maybe we were sold a false bag of goods, like go to college, take out these loans, and then your life is going to be incredible after you graduate from college. And so many of us just have a very different reality than what we thought was going to happen after college, or certainly how we were going to feel when we actually had to make those student loan payments. So today's episode, I sit down with Grant and Allie, who star in the new show called Total Forgiveness, which is on College Humor's platform called Dropout. And Grant and Allie are people that you want to know because they marched right into their boss's office and they convinced him to ante up some money to pay off their student loans with one caveat. Grant and Allie had to challenge each other in each episode to some pretty ridiculous things in order to win the challenge and receive the money towards their student loans. perhaps it's giving you some ideas. I know that you're going to want to stay tuned to hear more about this episode. So, Grant, Allie, I am so excited to be here to talk to you about everyone's favorite subject, student loans.
It's becoming our career talking about student loans, so we're on board.
Awesome. So I just wanted to start out, you know, knowing what you guys know now, being, you know, however many years out from college, if you had to go back and do it over again, knowing that you would be, you know, dealing with student loan debt and like everything that comes along with that, like, what would you do? Would you do the same thing? Would you change it up?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was in a weird position because I went to a kind of like specialty school, not really based on the major that I wanted, but based on the culture. I was like incredibly religious and I wanted to go to a religious school. And it turns out the price tag for that was like $32,000 a year. And so amen. Definitely. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I paid it straight to Jesus, who is now called Navient. No. And so I think if I was to go back, I would definitely shop around for a cheaper school. Like what I was paying for was like beachfront property at 18. Like, are you kidding me? I didn't need beachfront property.
Did anybody like talk to you in high school of like, hey, maybe, you know, some other schools are like a better choice for either what you want to do?
Oh, my God. No, I was so like people would come to our like summer camps and throw free t-shirts out for this school. You know, it was like we were like marketed to because in their mind, they were helping us like continue in the faith, you know, and not go to like a state school where we might read Nietzsche or, you know, like it was like fully like trying to like keep us in this bubble that was very pricey. So no one was there to be like, hey, look, this is way too much money and you'll be paying for this when you're a completely different person.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So what about you, Grant?
Oh, you know what's bad? Yeah, I think I probably would do it again.
Tish.
I went to NYU to study acting. I went to the Tisch School of the Arts. It was great. I very badly wanted to be in New York City.
Right.
I grew up in Ohio.
And now you're in LA.
And now I'm in LA. Now I lived there for 10 years and I said, oh, I very badly don't want to be in New York City.
Greatest city in the world.
The greatest city in the world. Oh, man. Well, and you know, when you're at NYU, the city is your campus. So that's a plus. And I got a great education. And with that education, a lot of the good things in my life now are connected in some way to my time in school. And would I trade those good things for having less struggle with debt? No, I wouldn't. Now, that is a bit of a false choice in my head because, you know, other good things would have happened to me if I'd gone to Ohio State. I'm sure I would have had.
I can guarantee you. I went to Indiana University. Okay, I can guarantee you nothing good would have happened.
Nothing happens in the
Ball
Big Ten.
State, or is that a different university?
Ball State is very different.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes. We cannot interchange this.
I'm so sorry.
That is the funniest name of a school, though.
Yeah. It's named after the ball jars.
It's named after what?
Ball jars.
I don't know what that is.
And that's because you went to Tisch.
I didn't learn that in acting school. No, actually, you know what's interesting about my education too? I don't know if this will be interesting or not. No, maybe I should have prefaced
claim.
It that way.
Grant comes out of the gate swinging.
I realize. So this is going to be the best part of the podcast. At NYU, you end up studying at acting schools around the city. So I went to the Stella Adler Studio. As part of my degree, they sort of took care of my acting education there. And I could have just gone there for acting school. I could have just gone to the Stella Adler Studio and had the same teachers and taken the same classes. So now that I say what I do it all differently, I would have.
But I do get it, especially because another part of our truth, LOL. No, but another part of us is we're both queers who grew up in small towns.
So I grew up in a very big city.
Which city did you grow up in?
Columbus, Ohio. That's an okay-sized town.
Interesting.
That's a decent-sized city.
Someone from Columbus would say that.
We have a zoo.
The two of us grew up in tiny specks of a town that shouldn't be talked about. So you got out and you got to go to New York City.
Yeah.
I can see how you would look on that fondly.
I did need something bigger.
Yeah,
I needed to go to a play. I'm even throwing the word need around with a wanton abandon. But that is what it felt like at the time.
Sure.
I needed that.
In America, we're pushed to think like that's the next move. It's
right.
Like, oh, you need something bigger? Well, that's what college is. Don't ask any more questions. You can go to a big city. Mm-hmm. And if you go to like other countries, they have leap year, gap year. And it's like you can do that for a fourth of the price. You know, like
they have
so
trade education.
Yes.
They have access to learn a skill, which is essentially what acting school is.
Fully.
You're learning a trade.
Take a year and travel and try a whole bunch of different things and then lock into a 4-year if that's what you want.
If that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See how I built a theme?
But there's so much pressure, you know, in the U.S. specifically. I mean, I know we have listeners all around the world, but there is so much pressure. Like if you took a year off, people look at you like you're
you know,
like a pink alien. Like,
yes.
Like, what are you doing? You are supposed to be in school, paying this tuition. Like, your future is going to disintegrate if you don't do that. And
it's
it is
like work in high school so that you can go to college. And if you don't, it's like, oh, wow, you just squandered all that work that you did.
Yeah, there's a lot of you're supposed to do this, I think, in American culture in particular, having very little to compare that to, which is another very American thing.
Yeah, well, no, I lived in Holland for a few years, and over there, you have a track that you're in. You go into like different levels of schooling, starting pretty young, and one is on track to go to university, one is a trade school, and there are a few others in there, and you're just locked into that track and that's what you do.
Wow.
And it's all based off of a test. Mm-hmm. And in America, like that's unheard of because we're so like the land of like shooting for the stars, you know, like, and no one would ever tell their child like you are locked into this.
Which I wouldn't have heard well when I was a kid.
Yeah, totally.
I still don't think I want to be locked into anything.
Yeah.
Aside from my student loans.
Yeah.
So let's talk about like some of the emotions around student loans, because I know they're super heavy. You know, like how do you feel? Like how did you feel when that first payment was due? And, you know, what do you talk about with your friends around student loans? Does the subject come up or is it just something that is like inherently known, but we don't talk about that stuff?
I think it's more that, yeah, I don't think I had any friends before Grant that I spoke about my student loans in depth. Even partners, I feel like I would err on the side of, you know, shave off $20,000 when I talk about my total that I owe for fear of like freaking them out.
This is probably telling, but yeah, no, you know, a lot of my friends make more money than me or have less debt. And I go out with them and spend all the money they do because I want to be part of, you know, not even, you know, keeping up with the Joneses type thing, but just like, well, that's what we're doing. This is where we're going to go.
Because we're still working the same amount. So it's like at the end of a long work week, everyone goes out for drinks at some, you know, whatever $14 cocktail bar. And I'm like,
Am I just gonna get cocktails?
Yes, exactly.
I love a $14 cocktail.
Do I get a water? It's like, no, I worked all week too. Like,
I deserve.
Right. And I know I need to wean myself off of that. But yeah, I'll cut costs somewhere else. And also another thing I got really into was, it is so easy to defer your student loans.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
make it so, of course they do, because they're just getting free interest, you know, and they're collecting truly so much money from you. And so there would be like, there were probably 3 years there where I was deferring so much just to be like, I don't have this money for these like monumental payments. My payments were up to $900 a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like a mortgage in some parts of the country.
Exactly. I'm like, I could have had a home in Tampa. Like, what am I doing here?
Tiny little speck of a city.
Tampa is so much more than Columbus will ever be.
I can't believe this.
Ohio, the metropolis. I can't believe this. Columbus.
The Rays suck.
Right, exactly. So, like, what do you think it is? You know, because I ask, you know, people on the show all the time, like, what do you think it is about this, like, taboo about money of not, like, talking about money? It's this subject, like, that we all deal with, you know, touches, like, every area of our life, but yet we don't want to, like, we don't want to admit to our student loans, or we just don't want to talk about this.
I think it's two things when it comes to student loans. First of all, it feels like a mistake right out of the gate. It feels like, oh, why'd I do that? And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to have taken on, certainly at high levels of debt, which I certainly have. I have about $95,000 of debt. Tish.
The campus is your city. The city is your campus.
It's embarrassing to feel like you've made a mistake right away. Student loans, too, are also something of a – they're not a champagne problem, but they're definitely a Prosecco problem in that there are people that don't qualify for student loans to start with. So it's embarrassing to complain about, because it's like, well, you chose this. I think that's a lot of it, is like, you chose – to have this debt, so you made your bed, now lie in it.
Yeah. I think it's also like, if I have a day where, like, you know, it'll just hit you probably on like the 20th or 21st of the month, where you're just like, oh, what am I gonna do? You know, like, all the stress hits you at once and you're like, okay. And if I have a day like that and my student loans come up, I can just kind of like dissociate. Like, I just like leave my body and I'm just kind of like, oh man. And so I feel like I don't want to talk about, you know, it's like so nice to have it out of sight, out of mind.
Sure.
And be like, that's way too big of a problem. Maybe one day I'll make $1 million. Like, especially being like in the arts, it's like, well, maybe one day I'll just cash in and, you know, some shoe company will like buy an idea from me.
Yeah, the only way anyone makes money in our field is like nothing. Oh, here's $400,000.
Yep,
for your nonsense.
Totally.
So there is always that. Yeah. There's that, like, well, it's fine. Eventually I'll make $5 million and it's gonna be fine.
Yeah. So I think I just kind of treated it as like a skeleton in the closet.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to like talk to friends about this. Full shame though. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. So we're sitting in College Humor offices where you both work, and you both just, you know, came up with this amazing idea to create a show around these crazy stunts to have your employer pay off your student loans, which is just genius, like, at the core. If we just stop right there.
If you're looking for a debt strategy, I really recommend a game show. I feel like that's very useful advice.
Yeah.
That you've probably come to this podcast for. Mm-hmm. Go on a game show.
We're writing a book together called How to Get All Your Money Paid by Being on Total Forgiveness in 2018.
It's going to be a bestseller, yeah. Too.
I think it is going to be. So, like, walk me through, like, what was, like, the genesis for this? Like, how did you come up with this idea? Because obviously, if you're both saying, like, we don't talk about our student loan debt, like, you obviously had to have some sort of conversation, yeah, that, you know, sort of spawned into this.
So there was this sadistic little gremlin who worked here named Zach Oyama.
We had a coworker
who we love. I'm totally
who's fine in small doses. I'm kidding.
He's one of my best friends. Yeah.
We had a meeting because we have a new subscription service called Dropout, which listeners can subscribe to at dropout.tv. give it a check. You know, it's a free 1 week trial. Maybe you'll enjoy it. And we were having a meeting for pitching ideas, and it was one of those meetings where it's like, oh, no bad ideas. And
those are dangerous.
Yes, they are. And Zach and I have a bit of a relationship where we rib one another. And so he pitched a show like, how about a show where I just punch Grant over and over? And I said, hey, pay my student loans and you can. And about a week later, we got an email from our boss named Sam Reich, who said, hey, that student loan idea wasn't terrible. Let's see if we can work that out. And Allie and I both have student debt. And so we started talking about it.
Interesting. All the lights in this room just turned off.
The bank
this
just is found me.
We are currently in a seance. Hey.
This is a new twist with podcasting. It's called Podcasting in the Dark.
Yes, it makes it more like listening to it. That's right.
Yes.
So Allie and I started talking about this, and yes. College Humor as a company has a real tradition, for lack of a better word, of pranks and stunts. Mm-hmm. Something they're famous for is the prank war from back in the day. And mm-hmm. so a stunt show felt right in line with mm-hmm. it. And what I like about this show is that it really does get the feeling of having debt. I think this show more than anything is a show about what it feels like
yes.
to need to do anything to get your loans paid.
Yes. To look at it, it's just so visceral and mm. like almost like that show Jackass. Or right. you know, just like what? Like Grant's in a shock collar? Like what on earth is going on here? And I think it's almost like in a satirical way. Like, look at these two like graduates writhing on the ground. Like, are you paying attention yet? You
right.
know, it's extremely loud and over the top, but I really do like how it came out.
Like, you too.
How sensational it is.
Which I think is a good point to make too, is for anyone listening, we came up with the show and designed the stunts.
They quickly kicked Zach out of the equation because he was like, I'm not just gonna like send you off to like skydive, you know,
right?
Like, you know,
yeah, there's
like,
gotta be some legal, yeah. some weird legal yeah. ramification here.
He was like, it was all a joke. So then I got pulled in, and then we were like, ooh, we can come up with challenges for each other because we're such close friends. And then we just sat down and started secretly writing horrible things for the other person to have to do live on camera.
Yeah, so I've watched the first episode, which everybody should check out, and. You know, Allie, you were eating some like really just totally spicy, like burn mm-hmm. your gut
yeah.
level chilies. And that was horrible. But Grant, what you had to do was to me, like, I'm not sure. I mean, I have student loan debt still that I'm paying off. I'm not sure that I would do that. So I'd love if you just share with the listeners, like what torture test that Allie, your dear friend Allie here, put you through.
Oh, it was pretty wild. We wanted to start the show with some good information about student loans. So we brought in Jay Fleischman, who's an attorney who specializes in student debt, who's terrific and a wealth of information. But that can't be all I do. So I, while I was interviewing him, had to have leeches put all over my body and let them suck my blood until the interview was done.
Yep. So are you saying when you said that one sounded worse, maybe I won if you were giving away an award for who came up with the better challenge?
I would say that you might receive the gold star in that case.
Now, I want to point out for anyone who hasn't seen the show, while Allie was eating that spicy food, Allie had to talk to their ex.
Yeah, true.
Which I wouldn't do.
And a cold call an ex on Skype.
Oh, no. You have to talk to somebody you had a relationship with? No, thank you. I'll have the debt.
That actually came up in the pitch. You were like, I don't have any exes.
I do. I'm just not going to tell you who they are.
No,
ignore that part.
Yeah, Grant really looked like he had been stabbed.
Yes.
It was so gruesome.
The worst part wasn't having the leeches. No, that's not true. The worst part was having the leeches. That was a terrible part. There was a leech on my face.
Yeah.
That was no good.
How long did it take you to recover from the leech?
Well, that's the craziest part. So the way leech science works is their saliva is an anticoagulant, and so they're spitting into you, which you can feel, and it's putting an anti-clotting agent into your blood, so once they come off, I kept bleeding for about 8 hours. I had to film a video the next day, and about 5 hours after the leeches, I sent an email and said, somebody has to do this instead of me. That's the only time I've ever done that. Is like, no, I can't come be in this video.
That's true. Actually, I came to work one time and Grant was truly on death's door. You were like hacking up a lung. You were so sick and you were still shooting a sketch.
You know what's bad? I don't even know what time you're referring to.
Yeah, there have been so many.
I'm gross.
Real company man.
I'm really gross.
All for the purpose.
Yeah. That's right. For the important the importance of internet sketch comedy. Yeah.
Okay, friend, I want to know. What are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Everyone knows that putting money aside in savings is really important. But then what? Should you keep your savings locked in a CD for a higher rate or keep them liquid in a money market? Can your checking account help you save too? Or is it about creating the right combination? We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about the savings options that are right for you. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com. Member FDIC.
So, I mean, obviously we don't want to like give away the whole show because we want people to watch it. But, you know, how did you guys come up with the challenges like from there? Was it just like in your mind of like, what is the worst thing that I can challenge this person to do?
We just know each other really well.
Yeah.
We just know each other. You know, it's like having your good friend who you know their secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And having it, being able to exploit that for financial gain.
Yeah.
Am I a good person?
Yeah. Are we two devils?
Hmm.
There was a show like Grant already touched on this like prank war show that was kind of like made by people a million years ago, and it was very like stunty, and we really wanted to try to take a personal approach with this show, probably just from being friends already. But when if I would write something, like an early draft had Grant, he was gonna have to skydive with a big gulp in his hand and keep some of the big gulp in it.
Oh gosh.
And that quickly got subbed out for like, what is Grant's biggest fear?
Yeah.
Like really going for something that's less of like anyone could do this and it would be scary, to like what specifically would drive Grant insane.
Debt is such a personal thing.
Yes.
And we wanted to keep the show feeling very close to the bone the way debt mm-hmm. does.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. The like I will do anything to yes. get this off my back feeling.
Well, it was kind of fun. It was the amount of dread I felt coming into the meeting. You know, each episode kind of opens with us pitching to the other person what that week's dare will be and hearing like the price amount. So that first one that you saw was for $500, which is not nothing. But it goes all the way up. The final episode is for $10,000 each.
Wow.
If we pass it. And if someone fails, the person who dared them to do that thing gets the money. So someone could end up with $20,000 in that episode or anywhere in it. So I would just have such dread in those pitch meetings. And it was like, this is comparable to what I feel making a payment. Or, you know, like yeah. on the 20th of the month when I have rent and then my second rent, which is student loan payments.
One of our executive producers, Sam Reich, has a good line about the show, which is that it's taking these years of stress of
yes.
student loans and concentrating them into about 4 months of terrible filming time.
Yeah, Sam was – it was really cool when Sam said that in the pilot.
Yeah, it was. Anyone can watch the show.
And I said that in the pilot.
Did you really?
Wow. Did and you yet really? Again, a feminine voice, you know, is cracked like and put into the voice that, of a man with
that,
a beard.
That white man, I feel like, really, really encapsulated the show so well. Well, leave this in.
Us women, we never forget these things. So, anyway, you know, we come
like
back to them.
I speak into someone's mouth and it ricochets out.
I really Sam was talking to his ex in the pilot, too. I thought that was a really impressive time.
Yeah, he
was
Sam's eating those spicy ex, chilies. Mirta Beltman.
Yeah.
I love that, though, because I think that's like something that everybody can resonate with, like whether they have like $5,000 in student debt or they have the $95,000. It is like sheer terror for you because it's like, well, I'm going to spend like 20 or 30 years of my life like trying to pay this off and then like forget the other stuff mm-hmm. that I actually like really want to do in life that I was sort of promised like was going to happen after college.
Exactly. I mean, forget about a house? Are you kidding me? Do you think I have that on my horizon? Like, absolutely not.
I just had to get a car, yes. And it was a nightmare. It was a disaster. So no, a house is for other people.
Yeah, yeah. These like kind of big land. I kind of feel like I was going with the flow and was like, okay, yeah, college next, and then did that, and now everything after it is like so out of reach because I did that.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to go college to, you know, career, house, whatever.
With
boat.
With debt. Yeah, but boat is next.
Boat. Ski-doos?
Yeah, I was
I'm from
promised
the valley.
Ski-doo ownership. And, yeah. And
a bunch of motorcycles.
How many?
A pool. 4.
What kind?
Kawasaki.
Did you say a poodle or a pool?
I said a pool, but also a poodle.
Well, a very expensive poodle.
You know, the dream life we're all promised. 4 motorcycles and a poodle.
It sounds like a good life to me.
I love that.
So what do you think? Like, I mean, obviously this is a big problem that's not going away. Like student debt's just getting worse and worse. Like, is there any solve to this thing? Or, I mean, like where do you guys think we're going with this?
A heavy pause.
Yeah, truly. I'm like...
The current system is untenable. Mm-hmm. Home ownership... Just as an example is becoming a tougher and tougher goal to reach for people who start out with this kind of debt, and home ownership is so much it's the asset that most people own. It's good that it is. So for that to continue, things will have to change earlier on when it comes to student debt. Mm-hmm. How that happens. Boy, I wish they would have taught me at Tisch. That really would have been great. I think it's going to have to be a combination of things. It's going to have to be a combination of changing the student loan industry, of changing the higher education industry in terms of what college costs, mm-hmm. In terms of what jobs are available to people without 4-year degrees, maybe just people that know trades, skilled workers that perhaps, you know, aren't 4-year degree people.
Yeah, and, you know, we were even talking... I just feel like with awareness and kind of like a shift in consciousness around what college means.
Right.
I think, you know, early on, we were just talking to our friend Trapp, who said, you know, all California universities were free up until the 70s or something like that.
I'll
agree with him, seems like he knows.
Well, this kind of like pure idea of education as being like kind of uplifted and it's free and it's important. And I think slowly a kind of like capitalists bent came into there and corrupted it, and now you have schools with like a rock climbing gym and a lazy river and all these amenities that then they tack on
right.
because they were trying to attract more people, just like a business. So yeah, schools going from kind of like pure education to full-on amusement park, you know, 4-year amusement park.
And here's your $30,000 price tag.
Exactly.
For that.
Exactly. And so I was, the push of everyone needs to go to university, they caught on to it, and now they have our number. And they're like, yeah, you do need to go to university. You need to go to this
here's
one.
Your here's your t-shirt and your sticker.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know the answer to this, but I would be interested to see some, you know, some PhD student somewhere do an analysis of what would happen if you made student debt dischargeable in bankruptcy, like other debt, because as it stands right now, it is it's a gigantic amount of debt, and there's nothing you can do about it. So there's no incentive for anyone to work with you on it, or to work with a payment plan, or to work with you on your monthly payments, really, because they know they're getting their money one way or another. Mm-hmm. So without the bullet in your gun that most other kinds of debt have, there's you're really very trapped in this kind of debt. And so I would... Maybe there's a good reason for that. Again, I have an acting degree, so I don't know. But I would be interested to see a study of what would happen if you changed just that one piece of it, and how that would affect the education the debt.
Well, I think the money that the government is making off of the student loan crisis, you know, it's astronomical. So
for sure.
there's going to have to be something there. If the government is holding all the cards here, it's like, well, look two steps ahead and see no one's affording a breakdown of society that
right.
is being
the economy is not being stimulated right. in other ways
right.
because people are just so like
people get stuck.
Shackled.
People get stuck at 22 until they're 50.
Yeah.
You know, you can't make the next move.
Yeah.
Even in like, you know, a divorce situation, like student loan debt, it's not, you know, we're in California's community property state. Normally everything's divided up 50-50. Student debt's not that way. So if you paid off the one spouse debt while you were married and you got divorced and you still had $90,000 of debt left, that's yours.
You hear all the horror stories of, you know, of people who, you know, people who tragically die when they're 25, 26, and then their parents who've lost a kid end up taking on $60,000 of debt.
Yeah. Heinous.
It's
truly
that there's no solution to problems like that
it's baffling to say the least.
It's baffling and it's untenable. So something will change. I just don't know what.
Something's gotta give. And I can't wait to watch that break and gush.
Oh,
who knows what that will look like.
Yeah. So is there any, I mean, I know that like one of the sort of slants of the show Total Forgiveness you guys wanted to do was just also have like real solid like student loan information sort of weaved in, you know, to the craziness of each episode. Are there any things that you learned, you know, going through this process about student loans that you, other than what we talked about, that you didn't know? Or
I mentioned the attorney Jay Fleischman, who we had on, who was again just a tremendous source of information for us, had a number of good pieces of advice. Something that I have done over and over in the past is when I have a little extra chunk of money, just go on the website and plop it right on the loan and say, "Great, I'm touching my principal for once," and that money just gets spread out across future interest payments and doesn't actually go to the principal unless you're very careful about directing an overpayment.
You have to call yourself and say, "I am putting this money on principal," or else they apply it to future interest payments. That is insane. Yeah,
when he said that,
I was in a rage. Because honestly, you budget and you don't get the cocktail, you drink water, you know, and then you send in... you know, some shiny payment, and you're like, "Wow, I feel on top of it."
I really did
something
here.
And they're like, "Ha ha ha!" You know,
we got the we can beat you. We can one up you. And how would you know? I mean, like, how would normal people know any of this stuff?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. And they do that on purpose. I have this insane animation from my student loan website where it's like a swirling question mark. The lights turned off again. It's a swirling question mark, and it says bad credit can afford or can bad credit can affect your credit score.
I bet that's not what it says. That doesn't sound right. Bad credit can affect your credit score.
That isn't positive. That is a true statement.
That's true.
It was something about late student loan payments will affect your credit score. But then it said, nobody knows who creates your credit score except the credit companies. And they don't release that information to anyone. So it's kind of mysterious. And it's just a swirling question mark.
Yes.
And I was like really trying to learn. I was like, this can't be it.
Purposefully confusing.
You go to annual credit report and it's like, oh, no, it's not a mystery. It's right here. I can see it.
Exactly.
That's
one thing that I found in this annual credit report. Great website. Finally got to see like all the weird stuff that's still on my credit report and possibly affecting it. And you know, another thing I learned in this process is that I thought settlement was like a huge option, and it's totally not.
Right.
There are so few, because it's not dischargeable in bankruptcy, there's so few companies that will even entertain an idea of like, okay, I owe this huge chunk. What if I just gave you this? They're like, no. Like,
right. They're going to get their money like one way or another. Exactly. So
if you don't pay us, we'll sue you for the full amount, and then we'll get it. That's
crazy.
Now, something a good piece of solid advice for people with a lot of federal loans that we did get was to make sure you're in a, I'm going to get the name wrong. Please don't take all your financial advice from me, but make sure you're in a direct payment program rather than whatever the opposite of that is.
There are like income based repayment programs that are like huge, and I didn't even know they existed. And you can just rip your loans away from like the bigger, badder companies if you happen to have all federal loans, and then get into one of those, which will lower your monthly payment. Like,
and make sure you're really clear on when you're declaring your income to them, you know?
Yes.
Do it in the month when you make the least amount
of
money.
Yeah, exactly.
Hint, hint, hint.
I whisper into the microphone.
Yeah, totally.
That's how microphones work, right? You can whisper into them and no one can hear?
No one can hear.
Hey, if you're the government, don't listen.
No, but I mean, that's like, those are such great pieces of advice. And, you know, like we were just saying, I mean, people don't have anywhere to go to. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I do this podcast, is like, just try to get as much like information and, you know, put humor into money and you know, make it this topic that we can literally sit around a table and talk about. But, you know, people don't know about this stuff. And it's I think it helps keep people trapped in those feelings of what you were saying, of just like extreme dread and, you know, fear and stress and whatever.
And totally. Isolation and feeling like I'm the only one. No one else was as dumb as me to get here. And you don't have to be dumb to do it. That's, I think, a thing to remember. Is like you don't have to be stupid to have a lot of debt. There are good reasons to take debt in the first place. And it's just a matter of, okay, you've got
it's
it. How are you going to get out of it?
It's kind of like one of the last moments when you're really tied to your family. I guess I'm kind of just saying this out loud and figuring out if I believe it. But, you know, like, it was like maybe the last time that it's been like, okay, all my parents' decisions up until this point fully affect me. You know, it's like right on your way out of the nest. So, I mean, my financial aid package and the debt I ended up with is a direct result of my parents not having any money to send me to college with, and me scrambling to get, you know, like as much aid as I could. And after doing all that work, I was like, whatever, you know, I'll take whatever's left over. Sure, I'll take it. I'm sure it's fine. You know, I don't have parents who could help me. So I think that's another thing that adds to the shame, is I have friends who don't have any student loans because they're like, yeah, my parents
saved for this.
Yeah. And I'm like, interesting. Okay.
You know, it's interesting you say that because, you know, my mom is co-signed on all my loans. And so it is one of the last decisions that you sort of make together, but we're stuck with that decision for the next 30 years. Mm-hmm. Less. I'm a little
Season
older
two.
Now. I remember, you know, one time I'd been getting behind a lot on my student loan payments, and it was dinging her credit a bunch. And she, you know, she sent me some money. She sent me, I'm going to say like $1,800 to get ahead on it, which is not easy for them. And I put it right on there, and then I got behind again. And, I remember she called me once, and she said, I'm on the other line with the student loan people. What happened to all that money I sent you?
Oh no.
And I said, Mom, my monthly payments are $800 a month. You know, it went there, and I got behind again. And she was just in tears and said, you know, I fought for you on the phone. I don't know what I can do. There's nothing else I can do. Because you do just feel so powerless in the face of a number so big and so immovable.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
Totally.
That's crazy. So I'd love to know, as we kind of wrap up, so obviously the show is filmed of season one, you know.
That's right.
And
check it out on dropout.tv.
Yeah.
Yes. Great plug. so after the fact, you know, were either of you just kind of like sitting around like, oh, I should have challenged them to this. Like, did you have those moments? And like, what were some of those like afterthoughts?
I had a dream actually, which is where I pulled a lot of my dares for Grant.
wow, you must have horrible vivid nightmare. Dreams.
I have a dream journal that's really just to fuck with Grant. But Grant made me, in one of the episodes, he dared me to a tattoo challenge. And I thought of a rebuttal one. I won't say whether it happened or not. I get a spoiler alert. I don't know. But I want Grant to get a large back tattoo that says, I'm with the DJ. And I was really angry that I didn't do that during the show.
Now, speaking of $14 cocktails, I one time paid a DJ $30 to play the song Still the One by Shania Twain. So I am with the DJ. So maybe my debt problems are my fault now that I think about it.
That's great. But did you have any like afterthought?
The DJ took my money and didn't play the song, which yeah, I buy, which I think is right. You know what? In hindsight, that DJ was exactly, it was correct.
Wow.
Did I have any afterthoughts? You know, without giving away too much of the season, it gets pretty tense.
Yeah.
And it gets pretty emotional between the two of us. And so I started to feel like not a great person as the show went on. I don't have anything on the list that I didn't do. And there are some things that I did do that I regret.
Yeah.
So no, there's nothing else I would do to my friend Allie.
Yeah, yeah. We've done
enough.
Baby.
We've done enough.
That's awesome. I love it. Well, just to kind of end things here, you know, if somebody's listening and they're feeling that like grapple with student loans or feeling the pain that we all sort of have, like what sort of parting advice, tips, thoughts would you leave them with?
I started using just a simple like Excel drugs. Spreadsheet. I started using just a simple mix of cocaine and Molly every morning. an Excel spreadsheet for a budget. And that helped me a lot. Just kind of like writing down everything that I bought and loosely trying to save money. That helped me feel like I had a little bit more control. And I remember when I started doing that and feeling like, hey, and I didn't always stick to it, obviously. Cocktails were there, but I tried and that helped me feel a little bit better.
The first thing I'd say is you will get there. People do get there. It is not impossible. It's hard. It's absolutely hard. A little gift I was smart enough to give myself on the website where I go to pay all my loans. Two of my loans, not all of them. To identify you, it shows you a picture and it shows you a quote that you write.
Inspiration.
Well, it ended up being that. Like the quote is there for security purposes.
Sure.
But what I wrote for myself is remember why you did it. Because I was a smart, cute 23-year-old when I came up with that.
That is so funny because I had the same thing. And I just recently took all my loans away from there, so I can just say this. But I made all my passwords fuck Sally. And where that quote is, I wrote, American college is a scam.
Right. Hey, you know, whatever floats your boat,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, very listen. Different approaches. You're so, like, angelic.
The other thing I'd say, too, and this is important, I think, for everybody listening. At big group meals, you're probably going to end up splitting the check. But if you don't get there till the end and just have a drink, you can usually get away with saying, "I'll just pay for my drink," and no one will give you the side eye. And I think that's really the best strategy I can say for paying down any sort of large debt that you have.
Absolutely.
I love it. Awesome. Well, this has been so much fun. So tell the listeners like where they can go to check out the episode and to follow you guys.
I mean, so if you just want to dip a toe in and you have too many subscription services right now, you can go watch
which
the entire...
Which this is a podcast for people who need financial advice. So
yeah.
We get that.
Yeah, we
definitely.
Get it.
I know.
You can watch the whole first episode on YouTube for free. And then if you like it, you can take a week trial, go on dropout.tv and watch a couple more episodes. And so we're on episode 4 right now. I don't know when this comes out, but there will be a good amount of episodes there to watch on your free trial. But stick around if you like it. I mean,
stick around if you like it. Or, hey, this is the podcast for financial advice.
Yeah,
Wait till it's all out and then do your free trial then.
Yeah.
Sorry, bosses.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of good stuff on Dropout TV, so definitely don't do that.
No, yeah, we really put our sweat and blood into this show. So I would definitely say check it out, especially if you're in debt. It's so cathartic to watch two people also in debt just mutilate their souls.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Remember to subscribe to the podcast. It's absolutely free, and you'll make sure you never miss an episode of Millennial Money. You can also listen to all our episodes on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, and Pandora.